Okay, welcome everyone to the real BS show.
The real BS.
Yeah, nothing imitation here.
That's right.
No HMOs or GMOs or none of that stuff.
Truly organic and natural.
Yeah, organic BS. Seth, I'm going to play some of my songs. And why don't you play some of your songs that you like?
Because yeah,
seems like I'm always getting mine in there. You don't get a chance.
Oh, I get plenty in there.
Do you?
I got plenty of BS in there.
Well, let's get your the songs you want to play. And I just got like this crazy one right now. It's about, I don't even know what it's about.
It sounds like they're saying yum nama na.
I don't know.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds like they're enjoying
their
food.
Some of the crazy nonsense that I listen to sometimes.
Right. Yeah. This is Yanni, by the way.
Yanni?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, anyways, why don't we, you want to, what do you want to talk about today?
We could talk about death.
Death?
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm getting awful close to the finish line myself.
I think you have quite a few years left.
I need some pointers on what's going to happen to me. All right, well, okay, well, we'll try to keep it light, but informative. How's that?
That sounds good.
Okay, let's finish this one, and then we'll dig right into it.
That's a horrible pun.
That's not a very good idea. We'll get into it. Okay, Yanni, take it away.
This is the real BS show.
With the bang there.
Yeah, this is the real BS show here.
The real, genuine death. Yeah. We're going to talk about death.
Yeah. Do you fear death?
I was not prepared for this one today.
Yeah.
We do everything off the. We don't prepare for anything.
No, this was kind of like a short notice too. Like, you know, yeah. We both just like, oh, let's just talk about this. So, do you fear death?
Where did I get that phrase? Let's dig into it. That was,
just perfect, I think.
I fell into that one.
I think there has to be some kind of humor, like a morbid humor with death, because it's sometimes tragic, but there is some hope in it, you know? Like, you know, there's sometimes people are suffering and they're in such pain that they'd prefer to die. And I think that's okay. And sometimes...
Well, that's happened a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I have
my family, I know.
Right. I have a great aunt that was in suffering and pain, and she was in her...
Well, that was recent, wasn't it?
Yeah. She was, you know, much older, and she lived her years. She had a good life, and so she was just wanting to...
So did you have to take care of all the...
Yeah, we had to take all the legal stuff and a lot of different aspects that had to be taken
care
of.
Speaking of death, I just squashed an ant.
Yeah. No. Hopefully it was not a red ant. We don't want... There's not...
Trying to get rid of them, but... Kept coming back, so.
somewhere, some Hindu or...
He didn't
Buddhist
listen.
Would be very upset with you. PETA is going to be after you now. But anyhow, I think that's something that we all have to struggle through, is facing our own death, you know?
Do you think about it much?
I don't fear death. I fear being...
So you don't think about it?
I do think about it a lot.
I mean, I only think about it when somebody close or some, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Then you think about it.
I think about the consequences of my actions for everything I do. If I'm driving down the road, what if something happens to me? Then what's going to happen to my son? That's in my head, is he's under 18. So if something was to happen to me now, that might greatly affect him in the future. So the cause and effects there of everything I'm doing is on me.
Well, see, when you're old like me and I kick off, nobody's even going to know.
Well, that might be so. I'm going
to
know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd have to get a new partner for the show.
Well, I don't know about that. There's only one Bill. But the reality is, you know.
It'd be the Ted and Seth show.
I don't know about Ted.
And, Ed and Seth.
It has to be a B.
But nobody whistles like
no,
I do.
No. You. That's why you bring the ladies in. Bill almost fell over there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact is a lot of people fear death, and I think that's okay. But there's also comes a time when you have to bury your parents.
Well, why do they fear death?
Because life is...
You don't know. You don't know what happens next.
Well, not just that, but life is short, and it can be suffering. But
well, it ain't short at first when you're young. You know, you think you live forever.
Oh, sure, but then it starts catching up on you.
Yeah.
There's some people with an impending doom that they haven't achieved things. And usually that's when they did interviews of people that before they died, they feared the things that they didn't do, or they didn't make amends in family members.
I don't think most folks even plan ahead that far.
No,
you know,
but you
I
think
mean,
about
us poor people, let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of regret there. I think, you know, even people that are wealthy, they still regret things they could have did differently or did and wish they could have changed. And also not making amends with family members. That's a big one. And that kind of keeps in my head, is to kind of keep the peace. And, you know, at the same time, be the strong one because you had to bury your parents, right?
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing. The first one's the toughest.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's something we have to kind of not fear death in that way. We have to kind of
that's when it hit me. My dad died first, and when I remember when it was a military funeral, so when the guns went off and they played Taps, it's like, holy smokes, I ain't never gonna see him again.
Right.
You know, he's gone. Boom.
All the years
of that hit me like a rock.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of wisdom that went as well, not just your relationship, but the wisdom that went. That affects me a lot, thinking about like when my grandparents passed away. I think about all the wisdom that has gone. Of course, I missed them and, you know, I loved them and whatnot, but there's all that wisdom and knowledge that they contained and all the information. And I would say every single one of them didn't go in fear. And that's kind of a weird thing to say, but from what I remember and what people said, none of them went in fear. They just went peacefully.
You know where I learned about fear?
What's that?
In church.
Yeah.
It's like that's, if you screw up, you're going to burn.
Well, I don't think that's...
You know, it's going to be eternity of, you know...
I don't think that's it.
I'm scared.
But I don't think it's that, though. I mean, you factor in, we have what's called self-preservation in us. So if you're on the edge of a cliff, you have a fear of that cliff. And we don't know, you know, when this life ends, it's done. And so that wanting to hang on to living is very powerful. So that's the fear people have. And so it's not a religious thing necessarily. It's purely just the initial innate fear of self-preservation kicking in. And it's kind of animalistic, you know? Animals do the same thing. They fear death, but not long-term. They don't have... We're the only living species on this earth that fears our death in the future. Animals don't think about that. They think about the present, in the now.
Yeah, the here and now, yeah. And when they get shot or something, they don't know they're dying, so they keep running.
Yep. Very true. But see, that I think that's something is we ourselves had to, with our own death, we had to face that someday. And you'll someday face, if I'm talking about to the listeners, that someday you'll have to bury your parents. That's a tough thing.
Hopefully it's not burying your kids.
Right. And you have to be the strong one and not break down at the funeral. You have to be the strong one and organize things and plan things out, and that's tough.
Well, you just had to go through that, didn't you?
Yeah.
With your aunt, maybe?
We had to set up a direct cremation. That's a method of cremating that is the cheapest form. She wanted nothing fancy at all. She just wanted everything.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you take us, or take me right through it, take the audience right through it, but let's listen to a little bit of music just to get warmed up here.
All right.
Okay, and then we'll come right back and take it, because it's been a while, because I remember when my dad died, what an ordeal that was,
right,
talking to these funeral directors and everything. So, okay, let's listen to some music, and let's find something appropriate.
Yes.
Okay.
All our times have come here, but seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't fear the reaper. We'll be able to fly. Don't fear the reaper. Baby, I'm your man.
right, this is the real BS show.
Real BS.
And we got some real BS tonight.
Ah, death.
Death, yeah. How'd that subject ever come up?
I don't know. We have to go through death sometime.
You want
to
dig into it?
We can dig into it.
I don't believe I said that.
Jeez. Yeah, that's okay.
Where did it come from?
I think it's a very fitting joke. Because we have to kind of keep it light, you know, because death can be kind of difficult.
Well, it's, I don't know, I remember when my dad died. That was a shocker. I mean, it was, what an experience, because I went with my mom through the whole thing from the beginning. And the salesmanship of these funeral directors is ridiculous. I mean, you know, there goes my chair again. Dang, damn it. You know, a 30-year guarantee or a 40-year guarantee on the coffin not to leak.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
And she went for the most expensive thing, and I said, Mom, wait a minute. You know, after, you know, a 6-year guarantee is fine, you know.
Right.
I mean, what? And no, she had to have the best, the most expensive one, and being poor, you know, that was ridiculous. And I don't know. I was shocked at the... And all the details and everything costs, you know. Oof. It was an eye-opening experience.
It's quite pricey. And, you know, I
and these guys are good at it.
Oh,
trust
sure.
Me.
They can really string people along. But some of them are good at it. There are good people out there that do funeral homes and whatnot.
Well, they're not bad people, but no. Boy, they sure know how to sell stuff. You know?
I do think the key to this all is what I found is if you want the least expensive way of doing things, the lowest cost way of doing things, is you could do what's called a direct cremation. And that's the exact two words you have to use. You don't want any extra frills added, no special coffin to be burnt. Nothing like that. No special box. You get a very basic box.
Cardboard box.
Cardboard coffin to be burnt in. You don't need some special coffin. There's all these, you know, things that they'll try to sell you on. You don't need it. You can Google it. That's my suggestion, is Google direct cremation. And then, you know, you don't have to have flowers. You could be at a social hall or a church and just have the viewing there or the memorial there. You don't have to have it at the funeral home. And, you know, I don't want anybody suing us for saying that, but I think that's something that needs to be known. It's not well known. My great aunt, when she passed, she already gave all of her money out. So she already set money aside.
There wasn't nothing left to fight over?
There was nothing left to be. It was already divided up. And then the funeral was all paid for. And she wanted the most basic thing. She didn't want nothing special. No... frills added, and it was very basic memorial kind of thing, and she wanted to be cremated, and that's what we set up for her. And
so who gets the ashes?
Well, that goes between her children. Her children were the ones that got the ashes, so it was split between them.
Huh.
So that's a thing, you know. I think people need to know that kind of stuff. It kind of makes it at ease, because I've met people that spent, you know, $15,000 on a funeral, and it's like, holy cow. I mean,
that's easy
to do, but they owed it. I mean, the person that died didn't have the money at all set aside, so they were just, it was a quick death. It happened soon with the person and had nothing set aside, so... They tried going with the basic things, but they didn't realize they were being strung along. And the person that passed away had no money set aside, as I said. So they got stuck with the bill. That's the problem.
Let me tell you what my mom did. She threw us all a curve. She had everything arranged before it happened, a long time before it happened. She donated her body to science.
Nice.
It didn't cost zero.
Yeah, they do it for free. They do it free. That's another way of doing it. Yeah,
it cost a couple $100 to have her ashes buried with my dad and at his grave, you know. That was it.
Right.
And, I mean, when she first told me that, when she was still alive, and she says, don't have to worry about anything. It's all taken care of.
Right.
I donated my body to science. I says, Mom, who's going to want your body? What's left of it?
Right, right.
you know, she said, well, they said okay. And so, I mean, you know, I joked with her because she was healthy when she told me that.
Right.
And I don't know, it was, I just forgot about it, didn't think about it.
Well, that's another way of going about it, because you can, even at old age, you can still help people in science to study your body if you pass on. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have accidents. You never know when you're going to die. So you could be in a car accident, and if you had that on there, like an organ donor or donate your body to science, you know, those are good things.
I had some doctor friends, and I asked them, I said, what's that all about? And he said, well, they just put you on ice, you know, and they carve you up, or they get you out and carve you up. And the students, you know, just to teach doctors how to, oh boy.
They used to do that. They used to take prisoners that were hung and study them that way. Yeah. So, I mean, now people are voluntarily donating their bodies to that. And
well, that's to get around the expense.
Sure.
Big time.
And, you know, honestly, what does it matter that if you're buried or not, or if you're cremated or not? It doesn't really matter.
Well, that's what my mom said. Hey, I'm not going to know.
Right. You know? Right. And some people are really particular. They want like a mausoleum or something. You know?
They
want
to be above ground.
Yeah, geez, I don't get that one. Just doesn't matter. You're dead. It's just, I think it's interesting.
I want to be parked down by I-90 so I can watch the traffic go by.
you talking about the memorial there where they have
That's where my dad is.
Where the jets.
He's right off the wing of the jet there. And so he's watching the traffic go by. I wave to him every time I go by.
I've always pointed that place out. My son knows it's coming up on that section there.
Yeah,
he used to be a good memories of when he was a little kid. He'd be so excited to see the jets.
Yeah, well, that's where my uncle is and my mom. They're all there. So right. I wave to all three of them when I go by.
So I could be buried there too, right?
I'm
a vet, so
yeah. Yeah, yeah. They tried to sell me a lot there. You know, because I was in the Army, and they said, whoa, we got just a spot for you. I said, I'll talk to you later. I wasn't ready for.
Yeah. But, you know, I think this is a good time to go into another song.
Another song?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. So what happened to your great aunt?
Oh, she got cremated.
She got cremated. Yes, and then you divided up the ashes?
Well, I didn't divide up the ashes.
Not you?
The cremation place did, and divided it between her two kids that were surviving, and they have the ashes now. And so that's all it is. It was just a short memorial. You know?
What do you do with the ashes? Keep them?
Some people keep them. Some people spread them, but you have to be kind of watch that because it might be illegal in some places.
Oh, I'm sure they got along. Nobody's looking. I guess nobody will ever know. I mean,
just goes off a bridge, you know, let the wind collect it. Who cares?
Right.
You didn't hear me say that.
It doesn't matter. No. I mean, these friggin' rules and laws and regulations.
I'm sure if you go dump ashes in the ocean, I'm sure somebody will have a coronary somewhere. There's some law on it, probably.
You're polluting the ocean.
I don't want to be promoting anything illegal. So go look up your local laws and your state laws and your federal laws. You can go do that research yourself.
Well, some people get put up on the mantle or something.
Some people do. My mother has both my grandfather and my grandmother's ashes in her house. My parents.
So she can look at them when she walks into the kitchen or
whatever? When my grandfather passed away, he wanted his ashes mixed in with my grandmother for his last hurrah, and that's the exact words he used. So, and I don't know, that was what he wrote down. Huh. I guess that's romance even after death.
Let's play some music, lighten it up a little bit. But when we come back, let's figure out, what do you think happens to us when we die? I mean,
there's endless possibilities.
Yeah, what's the going story or whatever?
Yeah,
because I never thought about it, never investigated it, and all I know is according to church, I'm going in a big fire someplace.
Well, we can go there. We can go religious. we can also go into the basic science. You know,
I mean, I was scared to death of that.
Well, I mean,
when I was little, I heard about.
We can talk about that after the song.
All right, yeah, let's do the song.
Girl,
guitar.
Yeah. Nice. That was that's Audioslave, and that was Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell.
Yeah, he died.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, he died. It just
nobody told me.
When I don't get too often too heartbroken over actors or singers or musicians dying, but that one kind of hit me pretty hard. He was a very talented singer.
No, was he still kind of young or what? He wasn't 75 or anything.
No, he was getting close to in his 40s. You know, he was in his 50s almost. Wow. Yeah, he was a 90s band. You know, and so it's just kind of hard to see those guys go when you have people like. What's the one guy from the Rolling Stones?
Mick Jagger?
Yeah, Mick Jagger, and you got Keith Richards. I mean, Keith Richards looks like
look like they're dead. They're just not.
They did so many drugs that they look preserved. I mean,
they're already embalmed.
Jeez. I just, then you have people like Chris Cornell that just dies from... drug overdose.
Caught you off guard.
Yeah, I just...
Now you can sing better than he can.
I know, yeah. I don't know about that.
That is stupid. But forget I said that.
We were talking about what happens after. And know, the thing is...
We mentioned Sunday school and how they threatened us all with burning up forever.
But we you know, the thing is we don't know. So we can go off the premises we don't know, but we do know is we turn back to stardust again. You know, we become part of the cosmos again. And, you know, the atoms that made you, like the iron in your blood, came from a supernova. Yeah. I mean, I just thinking about that.
Well, that ain't in the Bible.
Well, it don't matter. The point is
science says that's where we came from.
Well, yeah, sure. Because the
hydrogen
had to become more, you know, over time.
Oxygen.
You have to have more complex atom structures, and over time it gets more and more complex with each explosion, and that means at some point your iron in your blood. And also your carbons were created in a nuclear fission. It just, you know, it's crazy thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And here we are. We don't know what the future holds.
See, they never told me about that in high school.
You know.
Or even in college.
To go back into space. We don't know what the future holds. We have no clue what the future holds. Let's say, you know, there's people that believe in afterlife. They could be correct. They could be wrong. The point is it's you have to find that path yourself and
be comfortable with it.
Yeah, I mean,
try to be comfortable.
I don't fear death myself. I fear being paralyzed or like a vegetable. If I'm a vegetable, pull the plug. I don't want people have to deal with that.
Clean up after you.
Yeah, I mean, geez. I mean, I'm a vegetable. If I'm brain dead, I'm dead. So that's how I view it.
Yeah.
And
when the brain stops, then that's
my thing is if the brain stops, that means I'm dead and there's no way with current medicine and science that you can revive a brain. Might as well just pull the plug. Yeah. And some people aren't comfortable with that, but I am. I'm okay with cremation. I have some family members that on my one side of the family that are very pro burial and then the other side, they're pro cremation.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So it's interesting to see both sides.
What do the atheists think? They don't. That's just the end of everything.
Well,
right?
I mean, I think
they're
everybody
going back to the earth. Boom.
Some fear death. I mean, that's part of human nature. It's innate in us to fear death.
Atheists fear death.
Oh, sure, why not? I mean, it's because imagine.
Well, then why don't they believe in some kind of afterlife so that way they don't have to be so scared?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if how did something of those stories? How do they survive this long? You know, if they just were some opiate to cause people to have peace, wouldn't they have taken out all the stories? I mean, that's my only issue with.
Well, I don't know, but there's a pile of them out there.
There's some bad stories in there, like really bad things happening. Why would they keep those in there if they wanted to make an opiate to calm people? I just don't get that. If it was just to calm people, they wouldn't keep those stories in there. But I think that the key to it is finding your own peace in the matter, because fearing it is not going to get you anywhere. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Those are the three key things that I think kind of limit us. And we all have it.
You know, when it comes to fear, I think that's a biggie, because I looked at this last election with Hillary Clinton and Trump.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, what's Hillary telling me? You know, and I was looking through this and looking through that, and I didn't get anything. But when I looked at Trump, I said, well, number one, it's fear. You know, Muslims, border crossings.
Right.
I mean, he jumped on those things. So he created the fear, and then what did he do? He created the way out. You know, he says,
right,
we're going to make America great again. You know, I didn't get none of that out of Hillary.
Yeah.
So she didn't have a real good plan, you know what I mean? Whether it's true or not, and you know, maybe it's all propaganda, but still, he had a pretty good game plan there, and it worked.
Right. I think the fear aspect is something that can be utilized by many.
Well, I think that's what churches do, too.
Well, to a point, I think that's true. But also at the same time, I don't think it's just fear alone that they work off of.
No,
I think they also provide psychological balance for people, and people do find meaning in that. Psychologists sometimes fail in that aspect. Society fails in that aspect of, and if you look at any advertising, it's usually fear-induced.
A lot of it
impulsive
is,
buying, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff. I think going back to death, though, I think once people get over the hurdle of fear, and because there is that initial fear of self-preservation, in a non-religious sense, I mean, but we have that self-preservation. It's difficult. And, you know, we've had a lot of suicides in people we've known, and that always baffles me. I mean, I can understand how somebody could take their life, but it's difficult to see how they got past the fear of doing that, and they felt that it'd be better off if they didn't live. That, it just confuses me.
Yeah, it's hard to make sense of that.
And, you know, the ones that we've known that committed suicide, they had kids, and I'm just sitting there thinking, how could you commit suicide when you have kids and your kids need you? And they were, you know, not over 18 kids, you know, 18-year-old kids. They were younger kids. And those four guys that committed suicide, we won't mention their names, but it just baffled me with when those situations happened. You know, this is the other thing that's weird. The more that they say, the more that they will advertise or try to promote knowledge or spread, you know, the suicide hotline number or saying those kind of things, the more they promote that, the more suicides happen.
Really?
There's a study done on that.
Huh.
It's not, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about suicide, but that's part of death, you know? But it's like when a celebrity dies.
Peter Fonda just died.
Yeah, but I mean, when they commit suicide.
Oh, like Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, more people commit suicide because it's like a copycat. You know,
well, if it's okay for him, it's okay for me.
Right, Robin Williams, you know, geez, you know, he, well, do you know why he died? Or he committed suicide?
I don't know.
He was developing, I believe, dementia.
Oh.
And he just didn't want to his family to suffer through that. And I guess that's the story. I might be wrong.
That guy had a brain on his head, too.
Gosh, very quick thinker. Quick-witted, quick humor, very funny. But, you know, that when that happened,
almost like he was too smart, too fast,
too
quick, you know, and he couldn't keep up with himself.
But when he committed suicide, you saw, boom, spike of suicides right after that.
Huh.
And so that's a tough thing, dealing with death in that regard. That's usually, to me, the most tragic, or a kid getting cancer and dying. I remember a girl that I used to know. We were 6 years old and as family friends, we were all knew each other quite well, and she ended up developing cancer. I believe it was bone cancer. And it just spread through her whole body, and she just was slowly dying, you know?
The cancer's a tough one.
And that was tough. That was a tough one because, you know, we used to play together, you know, and...
It doesn't seem fair for little kids and young people to...
Right. And so the suicide and the cancer stuff, that's the toughest ones for me.
Yeah, right.
But... You know, I mean,
I always figure that's what'll get me. Because I'm getting up there. I'm getting up there pretty close.
I think you're a strong horse. You still got quite a few years ahead of you.
Well, I wrestled in high school, so.
We won't say who he wrestled in high school with.
No, you know, while your body's growing, you know, your body's growing and you're exercising like crazy.
Right.
So I just feel that my heart and lungs and stuff like that kind of got over, while they were growing, got to be a little bit better than normal.
Oh, sure.
Because I think that's a good thing. I mean, holy cow, did I exercise.
I will say that going back to the Army, we both were in the Army. Yeah. They did a study recently in the last 5 years, doing a projection of soldiers that when they become 18 or so, how healthy they will be. And over the 5 or 10 year study, I can't remember if it was 5 or 10, they found that kids were unfit for military service. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's the first time it's ever happened. But now there's actually an increase of health, and it was tied to kids playing outside more.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
Well, I did a lot of that.
It's starting to get back on the upswing again.
You know, I'm glad because when I got drafted in the Army, you go through a real nasty physical.
Oh, sure.
And there was a lot of softies, I call them. ROTC guys and all that stuff that just go through basic training then go home. Well, guess what? I mean, those guys were so far out of shape. And so, you know, it was just sad to watch them, you know. And I was like, I could stay in the middle of everything. I didn't want to be up front and I didn't want to be at the back.
Right.
I wanted to be right in the middle. And that's where I stayed with ease. Well, all these other guys were just getting tormented, something awful.
I found that, you know, that 90% of the time it was this extreme boredom. And then you have that 10 or 5% time of extreme excitement and fear. And I think that's what you can kind of sum up a lot of things.
Well, I was just shocked to see how bad a shape people were in. As young people going into the Army, because the first thing they do is they just beat the snot out of you.
Oh, sure.
And you're running and you're, you know, these long hikes and in wintertime, you didn't care what the weather was. And all these guys suffered something awful. And it was a breeze for me, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, yes.
I was in infantry and before I joined, I always prepared, you know, I prepped up, you know, and I think that made a difference. But yeah, I do agree. There's a lot of guys that weren't fit at all. They did suffer more.
Oh, big time!
And they of course vented their issues that they had, their pains, and it's like that just made it worse. You became a target. You shut your mouth if you're in pain in the military. In basic training or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
Don't run your unless you're seriously injured. I think that's something. I kind of lost the fear of death then. I think because I just accepted my fate, whatever it might be.
Well, I tell you what, I bumped into a lot of Christians when I was in the Army.
Oh, sure.
The boys were praying. Because back then everybody went to Vietnam and they were just like, oh, you know, they were beside themselves. And it was a real zoo. I mean, a mess. We started with 200 in our company and I think 40 of them went AWOL.
Wow. That's crazy.
160 at graduation.
Jeez. I think we only had 2 guys not graduate.
And I don't know how many M16s come up missing.
Jeez.
These guys from New York City were sending bayonets back to their neighborhoods like crazy.
Jeez.
Oh, shoot. Hey, let's, we're getting off the subject here.
That's real BS.
Yeah, let's do a little redemption and see what happens.
That sounds good.
Went to the well and looked in the mirror.
And grind there at the end. Okay, Seth, this is the real BS show.
Talking about that, we're coming down to the end of the grind.
Yeah, well, we ought to sum up what we've discovered today. Because, like I say, I'm getting close. So
yeah, I don't know. You got quite a few years there, Bill. I don't know.
That's what everybody says, but my leg hurts. They said my leg needs, it's got bad circulation or something. I don't know. Feels pretty good now, though.
Yeah, that's good.
I went to Amazon and got some medicine.
We won't say what that is. Probably a horny goat weed or something.
No, I don't know what it is. It's Dossman. It's some citrus something or other. 100% pure citrus.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. But it makes my leg feel better, so
that's good.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it. The doctor, I was supposed to call him in July to make a follow-up appointment or whatever. So they called me, matter of fact, because this is August now. So
yeah.
They called me. I said, yeah, this is me. He said, well, we'd like to schedule your colonoscopy or whatever they call that.
Uh-huh.
It's colon exam or something.
Okay.
I said, what? I said, wait a minute. One thing at a time here. First, let's fix my leg, and then we can think about my butt later on.
What if you walk in there and the proctologist has very thick fingers? I mean, would that make you terrible?
No, he'd say, okay, just take your pants off. He'd say, just put them over there by mine. He said, whoops, I'm out of here. it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. These people are nuts. I don't want nothing to do with them.
But, you know, with death, though, you know, it's like, you know, the fear is all there, right? You know, but how do you, you know, going back to kind of like, yeah, fear, people have fear initially with death. Then you have other people, that family members that will miss you.
Well, what's the matter with me? Because I don't think about it, and I don't know. I don't even think about it, and I don't fear it, I guess.
Well, I don't fear it either. I think I accept.
I mean, I got rid of every last nickel I got, so there's nothing to fight over for anybody.
I think it's initially for me, I worry about my son and family members around me. If something was to happen to me, what would be taken over? You know, things, would my son be, you know, okay? You know, that kind of thing. That's all I am concerned about.
See, my kids are off and running, and right. They're doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, your kids are doing great.
So they really don't need me anymore. So
I think they still need you, though. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, well, Christmas time and
wow, your wisdom,
like
your wisdom, and
oh,
your knowledge.
They're smarter than I am. Now,
I mean, I'm sure your kids call you up sometimes, even though they're quite into their adult age. They still call you up and talk with you.
Yeah,
you know,
not very often. Usually, just howdy, how you doing, and that's it.
Right, that's okay though. You know, and. You know, I'm sure they'd miss you. That's a big part, you know?
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, they might. They don't want to admit it. But
I mean, you
might.
Raised them, basically, so.
Yeah, right. Well, I did.
Yeah, you were the parent.
I had to do it.
And, you know, that's something that's admirable.
I mean, I wanted to do it. Let's put it that
right,
way.
Right, right. Well, they deserved it. I mean, you're a good father. You know, you raised them quite well, I think. And that's why they're off and running. You know,
but I told them all. I says, "Once you're 18, out you go."
Right, right.
So learn how to do things yourself.
Right, right. But you know, the thing is, you know, that's a part that they'll miss, because I'm sure you miss your parents. I'm sure there's things you don't miss about them, but overall,
yeah, right.
It's overall, 50, that's
50.
Yeah. Overall, it's like there's the parts that the good times and the good memories.
Well, when the end comes, you think about the. The better stuff. You don't think about all the bad stuff,
no.
You know.
Right.
You know, like my dad, the night he died, I told him I loved him.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I never heard that from his mouth, ever.
Yeah.
And I just, all the crazy crap, I was gone, you know.
Right.
I just, forget it.
Right.
You know, and it was weird. You know, a few hours later, he was dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
my birthday, matter of fact.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And now that's stuck with you.
Quite an experience. Yeah,
every birthday you have, you remember.
Yeah, it's his birthday too now.
Yeah.
Un-birthday.
Un-birthday, yeah. D-birth.
D-birthday.
My grandmother died on my uncle's birthday, and it was leap year. You know, the leap day, whatever they call that.
So she only dies once every 4 years.
Yeah. And, you know,
she only died 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so it's just, there's a whole story behind that. I won't get into it, but it's not a good memory for my uncle probably. But she did not want to go to the hospital because that's where her mother died when she was 8 years old. So not good memories at the hospital to die there.
Right.
And
well, I look at it this way. I, you know, if I was to drop over tomorrow, this big old earth ain't going to care one little bit.
I'm sure it's gonna keep on spinning around. I'm sure there's going to be some ripples, Bill.
None whatsoever. This earth will keep right on spinning.
I'm sure.
Tornadoes and hurricanes. And
but you know, the point I'm making is you're not just completely isolated and not. Would not be missed. I mean, that's a point that I realize myself, you know, I had to think about that. Well, who else would I affect if I died? Well, not besides my kid, but not, I'm sure there's a
big chain reaction.
See, I used to see like in jobs, you know, in different things like that, there were people running around acting like the world couldn't survive without them, you know,
right.
Big stuff, you know, big. And I used to tell them, you know, even these national acts, when they acted like they were such big stuff. I said, come on, you know.
Oh, sure.
Anybody drop could... over tomorrow, nobody will even know.
Yeah. I mean, people will remember Michael Jackson, but do they really every day affect them? Not really.
No. They're still out there beating the bushes, trying to make a living. And
I agree with that. Yeah. But there's a certain point. It's those the family and the friends around you. That's where I think it lays, where the ripples will be.
But it'll wear off. Time fixes everything.
I'm sure. You know, but the memories, that's the important part. They'll have the memories, and that will continue on. You know, there's two deaths, actually. The first time you die, and then the last time somebody says your name in memory. And that's a second death is a weird one to think about. I think about that a lot. I don't think about the first death too often.
Well, for most of us, it don't take very long for the second one.
Well,
unless you're George Washington or something.
I study.
And you're still going.
I study family history and research genealogy and stuff like that. And it amazes me. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm researching people from like 200 or 300 years ago on my mother's side, because my father's side, we don't know too much because, you know, they were recent immigrants. But my mother's side is like, these people were like 300, 400 years ago. Nobody knows who they are. And right now I'm probably the first person to look up their name in probably 100 years.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind. I'm like, that person's name.
There's a gravestone somewhere
name on it? Oh yeah, there is. And I visit them a few times and it's like, holy cow, that person, I have that DNA of that person. And that's another aspect, is you don't die really. You don't die with just, and turn into cosmos or stardust or whatever, but your DNA carries on. So in your kids and your grandkids is a piece of you, and that carries on for the generations ahead. And it's the same thing with the woman I found of a headstone that was my great, 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 great grandmother. I have a piece of her DNA too in me. And it's like, that's crazy.
Did you tell her thank you when you were there?
No, I didn't. I just stared at her headstone and thought, oh, that's nice. And then moved on.
Because you later.
Because what is, you know, that moment was just in my head, you know, just thinking about that, thinking how absurd this is that, you know, that's like 5% of my DNA or whatever right there in front of me. Huh. I shared, you know? And so.
Well, it's a crazy subject, that's for sure.
Yeah. We have a song for that.
What's that?
To end with.
Oh, a crazy song?
I think so, maybe. We'll kind of end off with it.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
Well, we can see what it is.
All right, surprise me and everybody else, Seth.
Do you want to close out too? Or
close out?
Yeah, we'll close the shop, you know, close up the day for recording.
Yeah, we might as well. I don't know how long we've been at this, but
about an hour.
We don't want to depress people too much.
I think this will kind of uplift a little.
Yeah, right. Don't think about it, you know.
Just do it.
Just
dig into it.
No, live life day at a time and go for the gusto, you know. And if you worry about tomorrow, you screw up today, so. You know, just
I agree with that. I think putting your mind to doing the best that you can do, and to help others and to help yourself do the best, I think that can make you have more of a fulfilled life.
You know, when you get older, you get more mellow and kinder, and well, most of us, some of us get crankier.
Right.
But you know, things, money, and lots of stuff in the garage don't really mean that much anymore when you get older. You know, you say, "Why am I saving this junk for?"
Yeah,
you know?
I think family matters. That's a big part.
Yeah. You do kind of wish you could do a little bit more, or a little help out, or something. You know,
right?
It's well, let's okay. You surprised me with your song.
Okay,
and thank you everyone for stopping by, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Hush now, don't you cry. Wipe away the teardrop from your eye. You're lying safe in bed. It was all a bad dream spinning in your head. Your mind tricked you to feel the pain of someone close to you leaving the game. Here it is, another chance. Wide awake, you face the day. Your dream is over, or has it just begun? There's a place I like to hide, a doorway that I run through the night. Relax, child, you were there, but only didn't realize and you were scared. It's a place where you trace the years and ride the wind to your mind, commanding in another world. Suddenly you hear and see this magic new dimension. We'll be watching. We'll be right back.